great tone. Everyone can tell what it is, but how do you get it? With so many styles of music, with new gear coming out almost daily, what's the secret to great tone? Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, where we talk about tone, what it is, and how to get it. With your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, we will talk to the creators of tone, the manufacturers, and the players, as we explore tone and the gear that gets it.
Tonight on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast, we welcome Marco Mendoza from The Thin Lizzy, Black Star Riders, and Whitesnake. Holy crap, I can't believe I said The Thin Lizzy. Anyways, Marco is finishing up a show in Arkansas right now, and we'll catch up with us later in the show. Before that, we're going to talk to an LA-based sideman, Jeffrey Marshall, about how he uses Kemper amps for his gigs. Flow Guitar Enthusiast is proudly sponsored by Sweetwater Musical Instruments and Pro Audio at sweetwater.com. And now here are your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show. That was a mouthful, Scott.
It was a mouthful, and I still screwed up. I can't believe I said The Thin Lizzy. Maybe I'll get on the internets later.
Jesus, I don't know what that was. Well, welcome, everybody. We have a great show tonight, and I'm really excited with Jeffrey Marshall being here because I want to hear some of the stuff. JP had called me, and just a little background, he had called me the other night about a session and stuff, and he had mentioned he was playing a gig with Jeffrey, and he said, "You got to hear this thing. Have you ever heard of Kemper amps?" I said, "Well, we had him on the show with John Holt a couple of weeks ago," and he goes, "You got to hear what this guy's doing." So we were lucky to get him to come down and show us a little bit of what he's doing and stuff and show us his rig, so it'll be kind of fun.
Yeah, because, as I tried to mention, but terribly, in the beginning, Marco is playing actually right now in Arkansas. He's just finishing up a show, so we'll be contacting him.
Right, so we'll be calling him live on the air to try to get a hold of him off the stage, so it should be interesting, to say the least. So what have you been up to, Scott?
Well, I just wanted to make sure everyone knew about the new contest for next week. So next week we have Sure Mics on, and they are going to be giving away two SM57s. So there'll be two winners, so one SM57 per person. So unfortunately, you don't get the double set up there, guys, but two winners, so that's good. So definitely go to flowguitarenthusiast.com to sign up for that. That'll be really cool. And then otherwise, I've been, basically playing with a Quilter amp and playing with a Swah, and then I actually set up like a chain of around 10 pedals and just been changing around the, going against all conventions and just putting them in different orders, just seeing what's going on.
Going crazy with the pedals. In fact, you brought the Wah that you built, and Jeffrey's gonna play with it and give us see what it sounds like. And he actually has a Wah emulation in the Kemper, so we're gonna kind of A/B him. So that should be pretty good.
Yeah. One thing I've noticed, by the way, I don't know, maybe this is not old news to anyone, but I have an Octavia, and then I was playing that, and then I was putting a Tube Screamer down the chain way later, and it like gave you the Octavia sound, but then it gave you this like smooth, like Eric Johnson thing, because it takes the harshness of that fuzz, still gives you that little high pitch noise above it, and then it just kind of like mellows it out. It's pretty cool.
That makes
something,
sense.
Something I was doing, I don't know, I was just putting wahs in weird ways. It was kind of fun.
I did the same thing with the Rotovibe pedal.
Yeah.
You put it towards the end and take the swirl off it, and it just kind of rolls some of that top end off and smooths it out a little bit.
Yeah. It's kind of fun. Just having a little fun.
Practical applications of analog naturally rolls off the highs. That's a good way to do it. So, but anyway... before we get into Jeffrey and the Kemper amp, let's go ahead and go take our break, and we'll be right back, and we'll start talking about this. We'll start listening to some incredible sounds, so we'll be right back.
Hi, Kenny Burgle here with a word to the wise listeners of the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Show about Sweetwater's Mic Month. In May, we'll be giving away 31 great mics. It's absolutely free. Go to sweetwater.com to sign up. We'll be posting mind-blowing microphone deals daily. Find out more by calling your sales engineer at 800-222-4700. This is Kenny Burgle from Sweetwater, hoping you win a killer mic from us in May. Go to sweetwater.com any day in May, and good luck.
Hi, I'm Richard Kotzer from the Winery Dogs, and you are listening to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast.
We are back, and I want to welcome Jeffrey for coming in. Jeff, it's great to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And so tell us a little bit. Well, actually, let's start with JP, what you were experiencing the other day at your gig.
Well, Jeffrey had been talking about trying the Kemper amp, and we had I usually play with a group called Incendio that you've had on the show before, and it's a nylon string thing, and I like playing electric, and we were asked to do more of an electric thing at this show, and so we decided to put this little thing together, and I asked him what amp he was going to use. And he said, well, I got this Kemper profiling amp that I'd heard about. I'd heard, you know, I had Line 6. I've read about the Axe FX 2 and all these different amps that are out there. And Jeff is a fine player. I mean, really amazing player and a teacher at MI. So there's a premium to distributing information and talking about tone and all that kind of stuff. And I knew that if Jeff thought there was something to it, there must be something pretty cool happening. And we did the gig, and his playing, and particularly the way he's voicing through this amp, blew me away because, as we all know, it's nice to have a clean tone. It's good to have a full-on blowout metal tone or whatever. But where these amps always seem to fail is in the mid-tones, is in the mid-tones and then just maybe a little past mid-tone, that it's very TV sounding, it's very two-dimensional. And when he laid into this yesterday, it was like, wow, it is all there. He's going, you know, he was using a little VHT for himself, a cab to monitor. But the sound and the PA was just killing, and it was a wonderful sound. I had a Mesa Boogie 1, and he was pretty much – I'm very happy with the Mesa Boogie, but for him to get that with no mic or no anything was so impressive. So it was just a bit of blast yesterday. So, you know, you were kind enough to have him on the show, and he was kind enough to come.
Show us a little bit of what you were doing and kind of explain what was going on.
Well, if you can hear this – we were playing a lot of, you know, classic rock blues type stuff. And, you know, I have it set up a certain way to, and I spent a lot of time doing this, actually, a lot of research and stuff on how I could get this kind of gig ready. And I'm not a big technology guy, to be honest with you, so I get a little intimidated by it. But I kept thinking about it and doing some research, and I found a real easy way to be able to get to a lot of different patches and still use effects and stuff like that. So one of the favorite things that I recently found is this. There's a website called the Amp Factory, and they do really high-end profiles of amps, and they do a number of different profiles for each amp. They'll do a clean version. They'll do a version with, like, a tube screamer or, like, a BB preamp in front of it. They'll do it cranked up, you know, so it's really like pushing the tubes and stuff like that. So when you get the profiles, you get about 10 or 11 different versions of the same amp. And as I mentioned before, we were talking before we started the show, I did a gig with Jimmy Vivino, and he came with an amp called a Twinolux, which I had never seen before, and it just blew me away. And I had just recently got the Kemper, so I went to this website, the Amp Factory, and I was thinking, well, maybe they have a Twinolux on there. And lo and behold, they did. So for about $8, I got 10 different versions of the Twinolux. And that's mostly what I was using yesterday. It's got a really nice, like you said, that mid-breakup where a lot of the things to me also fail too. Do you know what I mean? It's like you can get that real heavy sound, you can get a really glassy kind of clean sound, but I don't live there. I live in the middle sound. You know, really kind of just getting ready to break up, and then when you do throw a tube screamer or something in front of it, it comes to life for leads and stuff.
Now,
like
you
that,
were so. Using pedals in front of it too besides it, or just everything through the...
No, everything's in the Kemper, but they have pedals kind of lined up in here too. So, like, for example, this is just... I do have a little delay on it and a little reverb.
But he's also using a Behringer MIDI controller pedal.
Yeah.
It has two, like a volume type of... You use one for the volume and the wah.
Right.
And then he has little switches so he can go and access the Kemper via MIDI.
Yeah, so for example, I have one of them that's kind of a designated phaser. Which is really nice. Okay. deluxe that I'm using right now, yeah. And I have it, you know, if I can gain it up if you want, you know, you can get a little bit heavier. And then, you know, I have a couple of other things on it that are come in handy, tremolo.
It's nice,
yeah. But I have the original patch set up pretty, just a little bit of breakup. And then if I want to go for a lead, I have a treble booster in the front end of it. And all these are internal to the Kemper.
So that's the treble booster?
So if I hit the treble booster, it'll give you... Just gives you a little more drive.
Now, when you were playing, you were just using basically the Tremolux amp profile, or did you go to another one?
I would go to another one. This one here is a train wreck, and I got it from the same place.
Oh, yes, you match.
And the train wreck is really cool. I use this one. It's a little bit more pushed than the... So I like that one a lot, and again I can even give it a little bit more drive on the front end. And then I also have a boost which... Which I can use for solos and stuff like that, and it's pretty dramatic.
Now you have I'm kind of seeing the controls on the Kemper. So if you do increase the gain there, it's increasing the gain of the train wreck circuit, right?
Yeah, this is the one thing I certainly don't know how it works, but it's really cool. I mean, if you take a clean amp, let's say like a twin, you know how hard it is to get a twin to break up. You basically have to. You know, people are calling the police and stuff, right? But if you profile it and then you put it in here, you can add gain on the profiler, and it sounds natural. It's, you know, I wouldn't think it would.
Yeah, John Holt had mentioned that you could, if you sample the twin clean, for example, you can, the distortion is pretty true to the characteristic of the amp.
That's where
it's pretty amazing. I don't know how they do that, but
now if you're going to do like a real blowout gainy kind of thing, what? Because I know you're a fan of Buddha and a few different other amps. What's your kind of blowout setting?
I don't really do any super blowout sounds. I don't really play any kind of music where I do that. A little bit at home.
Well, I guess rock blow, like a real good full,
like a JCM 800. And you can, you know, I have the gain only about halfway. You can get really crazy. It's a really kind of a, AC/DC on steroids kind of vibe. You know what I mean?
What's your, like, really nice gainy bluesy sound?
I tend to go either for the train wreck, which is, kind of... is kind of like a pushed amp, and you know that will gain up pretty nice too. That kind of sound. I usually have that set a little bit cleaner though, and then if I want to push it, I can push it with a little bit of that. The treble booster on the front end. So a lot of variations of tone, and then I have one that's just basically, this is a plexi clean sound.
That's nice.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm certainly like you guys. I'm pretty bent on tone and wanting to get things right, you know. But man, I'm pretty sold on it. It's pretty great.
It sounds very dialed in, and it sounded just fantastic yesterday too. You were going through a variety of things, incorporating the phase in a couple of places and the tremolo in a couple of places, and it just sounded like a wonderful amp was there with the and being controlled by somebody that clearly knew what they were doing. So it was great.
Yeah, it was great. Good fun too.
Now you've using primary. What other Now, you had mentioned the Amp Factory. What other profiles did you get that you thought were really cool?
Well, the main ones that I got is the that I really dig are the Train Wreck one and the Twin Olux. But there's another one called the Evil Twin, which is Phil X. You know who Phil X is, I'm sure. He's a session guy and a great guitar player. And I guess I kind of did a little research on it because when I heard it, I was like, wow, this is cool. I've never heard of this amp before. And he was doing some demos for some guitar shop, I guess here in L.A. or something like that. Yeah, and he plugged into like a little old combo amp that just happened to be there. And everybody was like, what amp is that that he's playing through? Because it was just sounding killer, you know?
I've seen those demos. That's funny.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess
Fretted America or something.
I think Kasha, the guys that make the rock mods and stuff like that, I think they took that amp and they made an actual amp out of it because it's so old. It's like from the 50s. It's almost borderline going to fall apart at any moment. Mm-hmm. So they made an updated version of it. And they have a profile of that. I can see if I can dial it up here. It's pretty cool. The cool thing about the amp factory, I don't mind paying $8 for a amp I could never get my hands on. But also they have demos of the amps too. You know, different levels of gain and stuff like that. So you can listen to them and say, oh yeah, that's really cool, or that's not my thing, or something like that. You know. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a brilliant thing.
When you say you get the 10 models of it, it's not going between those, or it is going between those 10
models.
Well,
like, for example, like if I got this evil robot one I was just talking about up here. And now I haven't tweaked this. This is something I haven't got into just yet.
That is nice. That's a nice crunch.
Now that's with the pedal in front of it. And then that's without the pedal. And then they'll do this is a bluesy setting that they had. And then a clean version of it. Now this is an example, like, that's just clean. But if you bring in the gain there. So it's a real natural gain.
Was really smooth.
It sounds really like cool. The characteristic of that amp.
It does, yeah. Yeah. It's very cool. So yeah, that's one that I've gotten into a little bit.
So out of curiosity, guys, trying to wash you down thing just for scraps and giggles.
Yeah, no.
Do we got it plugged in?
I do. Let me make.
Now
sure
he that. Has a emulated wah that's on the Kemper, and then he's gonna switch between that and Scott's wah that he built.
That I have never
the Selenium wah.
So this is that evil robot with the.
Now is that wah? Is that supposed to emulate?
It's just a crybaby, a standard crybaby one that's in there. There's about 10 different ones in there, but that's the one that I kind of just gravitated to for some reason. It just sounded like a natural wah.
All right, now let's try the real thing.
Very cool, by the way.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
The difference I'm noticing is the taper, obviously.
Yeah.
The taper, because the other. I wonder if, I don't know if Kemper could do this, if they could actually give you a parameter to adjust the taper.
They do have it in there.
Oh,
they
that do. Is totally
it's
cool.
They have a visual thing of it in their manual that you can do it this way or that way so that when the pedal reacts differently. I haven't quite got there just yet, but I did see it in the middle.
Oh, then then technically he could get that taper then.
Pretty close. That's a really nice wah.
Yeah. You can hear the difference. Not bad. I'm sure you can approximate it.
Yeah, that's a nice wah. Let's hear the other one.
Wow. You can see he's moving his, you can't see it on the air, but he's moving, the taper's longer on his digital one, so it's a little harder to get that out of it as fast.
It also sounds like there's a little more, it's a little, the real one's a little fuller.
It seems there's more body to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you bring up one of the other WAHs from the modeling to see if we can get close to it?
Yeah, let's see. So if I go into the WAH here, I think that I just had like a crybaby. That's where I just kind of find a good middle ground.
Folks, this is NASA technology that's happening here if you can't see.
Some of these I've never tried before.
It's just amazing that he's dialing it in.
I think that might be like an auto wah. This is the Kemper wah.
That's nice.
Let me try a different patch here. So yeah, that's the one that comes. It's Kemper 2. This is it says Ibanez something.
That's that kind of late tape.
So yeah, it's a pretty good selection. I think this is maybe.
It sounds like the old color sound wah.
So it's pretty good. I mean, yeah, I don't know that. I didn't really buy it for the effects, to be honest with you. I bought it for the amp thing. That's kind of a bonus that I can use it live, and I don't have to bring a whole other pedal board with me, you know.
And I don't
feel like I'm compromising too much. But yeah,
we were bugging Holt about, you know, can we profile pedals?
Right, right.
Because then I could just take out my Vox Wah and profile it, or I could take out my.
Can you?
No, not yet. They do it, but it's more involved. It's not something that you can just plug in and it samples it or, you know, profiles it.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to go there. I think it will go there because, you know, I could pull out my old fuzz face with the germanium and I got it. You know what I mean?
Well, interesting point. I know we're going to go to Mr. Mendoza in a second, but the model you got has the Class D 400 aside or something?
It's a 600. It's mono.
It's mono. Okay. So a mono block of 600 Class D, which I guess is putting it in that kind of quilter area. Yeah. Everybody's finally found the key to beginning to utilize Class D for this. And what has your experience been with I heard a little bit yesterday. Were you skeptical or you thought, I'm going to give this a try? Because we were even talking about it a little bit earlier.
Yeah, I was skeptical about the whole thing, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? It took one thing that kind of triggered me was, first of all, somebody let me borrow theirs and I got to mess with it a little bit. Another thing is a good friend of mine, was using one himself, and he sent me two different MP3s, one with the actual mic to amp and one with the profile that he made of that amp. And neither one of us could tell them apart. And it was a really complex profile, too. It was like an old Fender cranked up. It wasn't like a generic tone. And you know how complex you get a Fender cranked up with the overtones and stuff going.
A critical thing that we learned from John was if you have a really good cardioid mic, you have to the better it is, the more accurate you get.
Right.
The more accurate the reach.
It makes a big difference.
Yeah. So as far as using it, you know, with the cabinet and stuff like that, I would say that I still have a little bit to learn on it. But it does have it's plenty loud. Mm. I played a gig on Saturday with a 412, a Marshall 412 cabinet, and I had way more room to go on it. You know what I mean?
And one important thing I think you said is that, you know, the power tube section is being emulated, the cabinets are being emulated, and I mean, I think the discussion with Jeff that we've had for a number of years as well, you could send it into a Jensen or a Hempcone or whatever, you know, whatever, a Weber. And you get those different characteristics, but in terms of this, is all the work is supposedly being done inside the machine. So you need a speaker Power configuration that gives you as clean a representation as possible of what's already happening.
Yeah, wide range and flat, like a keyboard is, actually, to be honest with you, because they, you know, with their synths and stuff, you want a flat, wide range speaker or system so that you can hear all the frequencies.
And you guys said, one of you said that it was a lot of new powered cabinets that are doing, or not powered cabinets, but cabinets that are doing this kind of stuff that are stay flat to give you the different response, right?
I think there's
right?
a company called Atomic Speakers, Atomic, and there's another one called Matrix. Now, Matrix makes the power amps that a lot of people are using.
But even when we had Quilter on with his little Quilter amp, the speaker is a very high-fidelity flat speaker for
right.
it, so that you could actually, you can you're getting all the tone out of the preamp and the effects.
Right.
Atomic is what I've seen matched to Axe FX, too. So, yeah, I've seen that. It's like a big monitor on stage.
Right,
yeah.
right.
Okay, should we try, did you text him?
I just called and it went straight to voicemail, so he may still be so playing. So I'm going to try him again while you guys are talking.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the gigs that you're doing, the type of gigs that you're doing, and what the demands are and the type of playing. And I want to, because I know you just got, you're relatively new with this, you just got this amp, but the type of styles, because you play a lot of different things. You've done some country stuff, you're doing rock, blues, but you pretty much do the you're moving around a lot of different styles, which is kind of interesting because your demands are a lot more because you need a lot of different sounds fast.
That's totally true, and I think I have been doing for a couple of years this gig in Vegas at Gilly's. It's a country gig, and there's no monitors on stage or anything. It's all in ears, and that took me a little while to get used to, and it would change. Just depending on how you mic'd up your cabinet and stuff like that. And the sound man doesn't want your cabinet to be very loud either. So
always.
You know, you can't, you know, if you're coming there, like I would go there with a super reverb, and, you know, the sweet spot starts at 5 and goes up from there, but I could never get anywhere close to that without the sound man going berserk on me. So I was always a little frustrated. I could never get, like, a really great tone. And then it's right in your ear, too, you know. So that was one of the things. And it's funny because the singer of that band is doing a record. And I went to a rehearsal, and he was saying, man, he's doing it in Nashville, you know. And he's like, yeah, this guy came in, and he had this little lunchbox-looking thing. And I said, this is before I got this. I said, yeah, I'm looking, thinking about getting one of those. And then when I got it, he's like, oh, I can get the patches from them. You can have the exact sounds that is on my record, you know. I'm like, yeah, if you think about it, yeah, I could get the exact tones that's on his record, you know.
Do you? What is the go-to stuff for the country gig? Is it the same, the Twinalux and the train rack?
Well, country is pretty broad these days.
Right.
I mean, you know, country is borderline Bon Jovi, heavy rock kind of stuff, you know what I mean? So mostly I'm actually using, I really like the train wreck for the country stuff. You know what I mean? I kind of get, you know. You know what I mean? It's not like Chet Atkins and Danny Gatton too much anymore. You know what I mean? Which I love. Yeah. You know what I mean? Which I've spent a lot of time learning some of those licks, but you don't play a lot of that stuff anymore.
If you were called on to do that, is there a go-to thing that you would have? Would it be like a cleaner train wreck?
Yeah, I would probably just go to one of the amp factories. They're the best ones I've found so far. It comes with a lot of them, and to be honest with you, I could probably spend the next 6 months going through each one of them. There's so many different.
Now, do you have
variations.
Like a do you have their Kemper's PC program to keep to library all of these sounds, or do you just have it in the amp?
I've used this MIDI pedal to kind of organize everything because I go through the ones I like and then I just store them to a MIDI patch so I can, that's why I brought it, so I could bring them up quickly because otherwise I have about 500 amps in here. Dialing through them.
Because I know Kemper makes a program, you can library it off of your laptop so you have everything saved and you can just re-download it.
Do you happen to own a Dumble version?
I have a Dumble in here somewhere. It would probably take me a minute to find it, and I don't know how it sounds. I think it's the one that came with it. I'm going to try to just go by alphabetical order.
No, that's fine.
I don't know if I'll be able to find it, but from what I remember, it's pretty cool. But the ones that came with it, you know, without sounding whatever, don't seem to be as cool as the one in the Amp Factory. It seems like they spent a little bit more time on it.
I'm sure they use really good mics.
They use really good mics, and they go through a board, And they do multi-miking too, so they submix the mics together and stuff like
sound
that.
You know what I mean?
Now, while you're looking for that, I'm going to ask you, JP, because now you've heard this, and you on some of your studio projects that you've done, you've used some of the amp, the virtual amps that you've you know, the computer ones. How do you compare the two? I mean, what do you think? I mean, do you think that, because I remember hearing some of the stuff you played on your album, your some of your solo stuff with Lisa, and I couldn't tell the difference. I thought it was an amp.
I think, you know, they all vary. We played with Amplitude, played with Guitar Rig. I know there's a lot of other stuff out there. The Wave stuff was, I had heard, was really, really good, and comparatively it was some of the best ones. But one of the ones I really enjoy is the Orange amp. Emulation on Guitar Rig, and now I think Amplitude is actually coming out, worked with Orange to get an actual really hot emulation of that. I think that's going to be very cool. So I think it's different applications. I like him kind of go for more mid-tones and less blown-out stuff, or even if I push it a little blown out, the Orange seems to react really well to there. The Amplitude Hendrix has an older, like I can't remember. It's not a Marshall. It might be their Fender or something, pre-Fender, like a Supra or something like that. And that has some really cool, older, funkier sound to it. So I've gotten a lot of usability out of that, utilization of that. So I tend to go between the ones that I like a lot. But I got to say, the Orange amp stuff is very cool. And when I've tried them out, the actual Orange amps, so those sound great.
Well, it seems to me, this thing, if you're a player and you just want to go in and plug in and play, this Kemper is the way to go, rather than searching through your laptop and trying to find the sound.
Well, you know, it's so convenient too for somebody, I'd like to say somebody like me, but way more somebody like Jeff that is going between a lot of gigs and you got a lot of stuff to haul and you need the tone to be right there, and there can be a broken tube or something like that. I mean, I would love to hear, for example, a deluxe on there, because at some point somebody's going to call you, hey, I got charts and I got a gig and it's old school country, and you know, it's going to be like a middle deluxe tone. I can't carry my deluxe and this other thing in case, you know what I mean? So to have all of that at your fingertips at any given time is just a godsend, you know, to be able to handle that many different gigs on a moment's notice is an incredible thing to be able to have.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you know, when you're doing, like, for example, that country gig, we do some old school stuff, you know what I mean? We're trying to get more of a clean kind of Telecaster, chicken picking kind of vibe. Most of the stuff is that in-between kind of modern country stuff, all the way over into, like, some of the Jason Aldean tunes, which are pretty heavy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you know, rocked out Marshall type sound. So, you know, I'd have to just kind of get a middle ground with amps and pedals, and I was doing a lot of tap dancing and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Am I bringing the right thing? Which pedal board am I bringing? All this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
To cover a lot, like one of the ones I'd be very interested to hear in the future, because I find this Kemper fascinating, is I think it was an AM show last year, the new Magnetone stuff. I thought sounded fantastic. It's bassy. It's throaty.
It's that
it's
kind
really
of old
full.
Bluesy type.
Yeah. Old blues and old America. You know, old 50s, Route 66 kind of thing. And I'd love it. And you know, to be able to have access to that on a gig like this would be very cool. Now, so what did you bring up here?
This is the Dumble. I brought in a little bit of bass and a little bit of gain.
People always talk about how reactive it was, like if really light, you know, as opposed to you know, going.
Well, that's another thing that I found is pretty cool about it. It cleans up just.
And then we'll dig into it.
Yeah, it's got that.
We talked about this with John too, and it's real responsive.
It is. It's pretty nice. You know what I mean?
Really
so
cool.
Yeah, and there's two Dumbles in here. That one's a clean. This one is the. I didn't do anything to that. I just dialed it up. That's
the straight patch.
Straight up.
Straight patch.
Yeah.
I know somebody out there is sitting there, well, man, you know, it's a profiling app. It doesn't have the bottom. It doesn't have the whatever. You know, that's, I know that. And I got to say, for a working professional where you've got to have a lot of tones at hand and it's got to be instant, you got to know what you're doing, these kind of the Kemper, these things are invaluable. You know, being able to do that on a moment's notice, because you can't carry.
Well, the demand you were talking about, that country gig,
yeah,
to be able to do that much quickly, they don't care. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're in the studio and you have a nice old deluxe and you're moving the air and you got a nice Neumann or something like that and you're recording it, that's great. And yeah, that's important because an album is a very critical thing. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you can grab stuff like this fast live, you're not going to hear all that subtlety.
The working musician is it, the practicality is he's going to go to Vegas and do a gig on Friday. And it's going to go late night, and he's going to have to drive back to L.A. and pretty much, you know, it's going to be a 5 o'clock call. He's got to go straight. There's no time to go home for the rock gig, which would benefit from a Marshall or a Boot or whatever. There's no time.
Yeah,
he can take this and very easily and wonderfully do both shows without worrying about it. And that's what separates, you know, the touring musician and the working musician, is making those considerations and doing the homework that you did at home to really tweak and get it right. But you said, I'm not a tech guy. I don't want to sit there and really work on a space shuttle kind of thing, you know?
And one thing that I will say about it is, you know, when you are on a gig and you do have to make an adjustment, like maybe it just might be an EQ adjustment or something like that, because, you know, everything's a little bit different here and there, is it's really easy to do. I just go, if I want to add a little low end or something like that, I do that and you hit store and it stores it. So yeah, if you come back to it, you know, it's not like you have to get a schematic out and the LED is pretty easy to read.
Yeah, the interface, the front end interface is really intuitive. Also, too, when we had John Holt, he had the one without the power amp. This one has the power amp, and I lifted both of them. And this one, it's only like a couple of pounds more. It's not a lot more. It's pretty light. And, you know, it's like a little lunchbox. Mm-hmm. It's really handy just to be able to tote that. And basically, you might bring more than one guitar, but basically you got this little guy and you got this little pedal board, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a pretty small, you know, system. So
it is.
I think it's pretty amazing. Now, we had talked about that. We were just discussing this, and we can kind of just alliterate a little bit more about the power stage playing live. What do you guys think if you were using one of these as a preamp? Now, the Class D is punchy, and it's loud. And it you know, with 600 watts?
Yeah.
You're going to get punch out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just curious what you would think if you were using the preamp and then you went into tubes as a power amp, like a Mesa Boogie, the discrete power. Do you think it would be punchier? What do you think it would sound like? Or,
you know, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I had gone on some forums looking at that, because before I got this one with the power amp, I was thinking about getting one without, and then possibly getting like a tube power amp or something like that. And from what I could gather, you know, what the best way to go is to get more of this cleanest power amp, so it just represents what's going on out of it.
Because one of the other things, and tell me about this if you found this in the when you were on the site of the Amp Factory, because one of the things I've always liked, and JP will confirm this, is that punching the power tubes. There is a difference when you push that.
Sure.
And that's one thing I liked about the old Plexi Marshalls. And what I used to do, like with a Super Reverb, I had a Hawk preamp that was like plus 20 dB, and I would just push that sucker, and it sounded amazing. But that was the power tubes.
Right.
Do you get that sound? Are the profiles that you're hearing, are they really like pushing that in, that brown sound, so to speak?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's one of the things, like I was saying with that gig I do in Vegas with the Super, I can't get it past 5.
Right.
And that's where you want to go, because that's where you get that tube sound. You know what I mean? The power amp starts sweating, and then you're starting to feel it. You know what I mean? And you can never get there, but you can profile that. So if you got a studio, I can turn that thing up to 10 if I want, profile it with that sound, and then dumb the volume down, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Now, you know, do you get the exact thing pushing the air? I don't think without the volume, not going to get it, you know what I mean, as far as pushing a cab.
Well, yeah, there is a physical thing.
Right.
But, I mean, still, with a 600 watt amp, if you needed a little bit more power. Now, I know sound engineers want you to stay low,
right?
But if you're doing something where it demands a lot of feedback or something like that, where you're playing, you're interacting with the guitar and the speaker, you should have, this has a lot of power to be able to give you that punch.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure.
I have a slightly different take on it insofar as I think it's an interesting experiment to try out at some point, and I might do that. But when we've been traveling, Incendio has a nice relationship with Mackie and EAW and some of these other companies, and that's been great. Their QSC, frankly, came out and really has done an amazing job of taking some market share and making some really amazing sounding speakers. The K12s, the K10s matched with the sub, and we used those on the gig yesterday. And that's a little bit like, that's kind of what would be the new frontiers. If you're not using a cabinet, how is it going to sound in the house to the people? And these are more lighter, more high fidelity systems. They're using Class D power, so the sound out in the house is being represented better, even by smaller systems, than it ever has before. That is one thing that allowed me to hear the fullness of his sound out in the house. Like, wow, that's being really represented well. And I do have to say, thanks to our friends at Mackie, they have a new lighter, really wonderful speaker that's going to come out. That's going to be kind of be the competition to that. But there's a brave new frontier in terms of those. And we're not even talking, the L system, some of the other higher end system, Martin sound. Certainly, those are all wonderful. But for the practical working person that's either setting up a gig or doing whatever with these newer systems that are coming out, one of the things that was so impressive was how that, without the cabinet you're using, was represented in the house by, I would say, a middle to upper level system, was just screaming yesterday and sounded fantastic. Yeah. So that's a really important consideration. So I would love to hear how the power tubes are reactive, but equally important, possibly more important for the audience, is how these newer systems are replicating amps like these.
Well, just, I'm going to date myself here. This is before Scott's time, but just imagine if you remember the Grateful Dead, they had basically took this wall of just speakers at lower volume, which obviously the characteristic of a speaker, when you push it more, it's so linear, it doesn't sound natural to the ear. When you have a lower volume, when the speaker's running at a lower volume, it actually sounds more natural.
Right.
So what he did is they had JBLs like stacked up, and they were in a certain configuration. So the vocals were in one spot. If you saw it, you just saw these pillars of speakers. He used a twin like preamp, or at that time, I think he might have used something from Alembic, but I think it was a twin. And basically went through Macintosh tube power amps that were ultra clean through these JBLs. Could you imagine this thing through a system like that?
Yeah,
it just would just incredible. Be amazing. And that was a pretty wide range system. And everybody that I was, they never played in LA with that system, at least that I knew of. But from what I heard about that system, it sounded really natural, like you were in their living room, even though it was out in the field or whatever. But it was kind of interesting.
Yeah,
yeah, I've seen pictures. It's crazy.
Does anyone actually remember those concerts?
Many people.
Many people remember. Some might have forgotten because of
just being
chemical deficiencies or whatever.
Yeah.
But
nobody out there knows this. But Scott is dressed head to toe in like a wavy gravy kind of tie dye thing. So
oh yeah, totally.
You would not know from listening to him.
Yeah, he needs a haircut. He definitely his hair is too long.
No, I have glaucoma, so I'm going to go ahead and take care of that after the show.
Color blindness as well.
But. No, that's an interesting thing, too. And that's another thing a lot of people forget when they crank the speakers up. It doesn't sound – it sounds way different. Oh, are we – okay, let's go ahead and try to get him on the line right now. I'm going to call.
Hello.
Hey, Marco, this is Scott from the Flow Guitar. Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Scott?
Good.
Are you on the show now?
You're on the show.
You're live on the air. This is the Flow. How you
live
doing?
Live on the air. How cool is that? Calling you from Fort Smith, Arkansas, and I apologize for all your listeners and yourself. We had a couple of encores, so we couldn't get out of there. That's how it is, unfortunately. Maybe we got to redo this at a later date. We can yak a little longer.
Well, we'd love to, you know, since you're local, we would love to have you in studio at some point, too. So.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, man. Got lots to talk about, lots of music, lots of projects, all that stuff. So how are you guys doing? We're on the air, huh?
Yep, we're on the air. So while we're going through it, let's talk about what are you using tonight? What were you playing with? What's your setup for tonight?
Well, I've been using what I consider some of the best gear around. Harkey, the LH-1000 with the 8x10 cabinet, and smaller venue tonight, so we just went with one stack to make room for the cats, for their Marshall stacks and all the other amps. But amazing amp, I got to tell you, and I've been around for quite a few years. I played everything that's out there, not bragging, but I got to say, for the past 5 years that I've been with Harkey, amazing stuff, man. Really versatile. You know, I do a lot of different genres. I do a lot of 5-string and 6-string basses, and I go from jazz to pop to rock and roll to all kinds of stuff. So really, really happy with my LH-1000, that Harkey kicking. And on the bass, I'm using ESP basses. He has various strings. I've got EBS pedals, TC electronic pedals, and chord pedals, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But really happy, man. My sound, I get all the compliments in the world every night, man, from fellow bass players.
So
about
do you,
the sound, the tone.
So you use the LH-1000 now? Because I know that you also use the Kilo, which is their tube version, right?
Yeah, it's a tube version. I have a couple of Kilos, but unfortunately they were coming in from England, and something happened. You know how that goes, man. Customs and all that crap. But, my main axe right now is the LH-1000 and the Kilo whenever I can get it. I used it all last year and the year before in Europe during the big festivals. Amazing, amazing tube amp, man. Reminiscent of the tone that we like, you know, from the other amps. But great gear, man. I highly recommend to all the bass players out there to go out and plug in, go to your local distributor and plug in, man, and check it out. And the ultimate test is taking to the gig. I always say that, you know. At the store is one thing, under control environment, but when you take it to the gig and you understand how versatile it is in the main seat. The other thing in the studio is just bombastic, man. Just great stuff. Really beautiful. I'm a little winded, as you can tell.
Well, we appreciate you calling with coming right off the stage there.
I'm all wet. It's really hot. It's about 99 degrees with, 80% humidity and all that. So
starting early.
And I just had surgery on my knee, so I'm a little under the weather, but had a blast. And the band sounded amazing. Black Star Riders, for the listeners out there, go to blackstarriders.com, MarcoMendoza.com. A lot of updates, a lot of projects going on in my career right now. It's been a beautiful, beautiful journey. So check it out, you know.
Yeah, you said you're actually going to, after the Black Star Riders, you're going to be touring with Neil Sean, right?
That's the plan. That's the last time I spoke with Neil. It all depends on his schedule and Dean's, you know, journey schedule. When that winds down, you know how that is. They're selling tickets like nobody's business. So chances are it'll get extended. They're booked through August right now with Steve Miller Band. The last I heard, is he's thinking about possibly September, October. I also have, this band that I'm working with, the Dead Daisies. Check it out, deaddaisies.com, a new album coming out soon, which is Richard Fortas from Guns N' Roses, Dizzy Reed from Guns N' Roses. We have Brian Tracy on drums and David Lowry on the guitar and the amazing John Stevens on vocals, man. I'm a big fan of vocals. I'm a singer myself, so... This cat is just unbelievable, man. He can sing, if you know what I mean. And a bunch of great guys, great, great, great project that's going to be coming up. So, like I said, officially we haven't announced anything, but if you stay tuned to MarcoMendoza.com, I'll keep you updated on what's happening. So, and the Neil Sean, project, beautiful album, man. It's one of those things that just happened impromptu, last minute. That's how Neil is, you know. He's the ultimate musician, man. He loves what he does.
So what's your setup when you go record? Is it different than your live, or do you use the similar?
I try, you know how it is. I try to get my rig there. At least I try to get my head, either the Kilo or the LH-1000. And As far as preamps, I go with Tech 21. I've been using Sans Amp as well. But most of the time, because of traveling and all that, I've been using the Korg Pandora, believe it or not. There's some amazing presets there for bass, and it's as big as your phone, you know, your iPhone. So I try to use that as much as possible, but it all depends, man, logistically. How much time we have to prepare to ship stuff around. Sometimes some of the local distributors don't have the rate, so you do with what you can, you know, what you got. But most of the time, you're going straight to Pro Tools. You know, most studios are set up with some amazing pre's, you know. My favorite still is and has been is Neve for bass, you know. I've been a big fan of that. All tube and, yeah.
So do
you do what you got to do.
Do you plug direct in when you go in the studio, or do you do kind of a mix of your amp and a direct?
Again, it's all about the logistics, how much time we got. The time constraint's always there. You know, most of the time when I'm hired to do sessions, I come in and I have a bunch of tracks to do in a short period of time because that's the ultimate for the producers and the artists, you know. And so, logistically, it's you know, if we have a couple of days, then we get a little more comfortable and we use some day to set up and then we continue. But like I said, I carry this Korg Pandora pre, and I've been using that more and more because it fits in my gig bag, and amazing. I've worked with some pretty killer engineers, you know, and producers, and they were pretty impressed. So I work with that, and when I can, I get the LH1000 or the Kilo in the studio, and we do that, you know. So there's a lot of variables, as you can imagine, you know.
Yeah. Now, do you prefer to when you play live, do you prefer to use all 10 inches, or do you mix it with a 15 inch in there or anything like that?
I used to be, once upon a time, I used to play 18s. I used to have 360 acoustics, two of them. And this is during my Rickenbacker days. I used to buy amp and,
yeah,
and stereo and all that. And that's why I'm paying for it now. A few years have gone by, my back's all tweaked and my legs are all tweaked because of it. I carried all that gear for years. I was talking about it earlier. But I've become a big fan of the 10, you know, because of the air that they push at a low volume. You know, I'm a tone guy like most bass players are. And I find that the XLP 8x10 cab that Harkey's making is amazing, man. Like I said, I play also a lot of fusion stuff. I just recently played the Big Potato, because then you guys didn't come in. And when I play there with my trio with Joey Heredia and Renato Neto, I use exclusively a 6 fretless. So there's just a lot of output and a lot of tones, variables going on, a lot of dynamics, and it's amazing. That rig, I'm really happy with it, man. It's just killer, you know, all around. But I've become an 8x10 cab fan for the past 10 years or so, you know. I do miss the 15. When we go to bigger stages and we can, you know, budget allows and we can ship stuff around, I'd like to have a 15 cab in there just for that bottom, you know. But I find that I get enough of the bottom with the 8x10, and I'm really happy with it. And also 12s. I like the mid-range when I'm playing fretless. Hmm. The mid-range on the 12 is just really killer, man. That growly, mid-rangey, honky tone, you know?
Yeah.
So, again, it's all logistics. It's all budget. It's all travel expenses. It's all making it work with what you can, you know? So, you have to be flexible these days, as you can imagine.
Yep. Well, Marco, we're coming to the end of the show. We really appreciate you hopping on the phone there right after coming off the stage. We would love to get you back in the studio.
Thank you so much. Listen, I'd like to invite your listeners to check out my solo stuff. Live for Tomorrow, Frontiers, a few years back, that Richie Kotzen produced. He played on it and sang on it. We wrote a bunch of songs. We got Ted Nugent on it, Steve Lukather, Brian Tishy, Tommy Aldridge, Doug Aldridge, a few of my friends, and it's a fun album. I've been touring behind that, and yeah, like I said, stay tuned to MarcoMendoza.com. We'll keep you informed, all right?
We appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Marco, and we'll all be in contact with you afterwards, and we'll see if we can get you in the studio sometime.
Oh, please do. I'll be back June 25th, so all the dates are posted. Check it out, all right?
All right, thanks a lot, Marco. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Marco.
You guys, take care, man. Bye.
All right. And before we go, I just want to mention www.jeffreymarshall.com. Jeffrey has a solo album, Eucalyptus, and he also is in a band called Bleeding Harp. And
yes.
There's a new album out, right?
We're working on it. We've got a few singles that we've recently put on iTunes that you can get, and you can go to our website. We've got music videos, and
it's Bleeding Harp. Bleedingharp.com.
Yeah. Harp is in harmonica. It's a it's a blues rock band with some really fantastic players and some good guys. JP has sat in with us many times, and we hope to have him back more.
It's a beautiful and lovely bludgeoning. Yes. These guys are just great, great players. They sound awesome.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And then also www.incendio.com.
Incendio Band. Incendio takes you to some other place, I believe it's.
Coming to a place near you in the East Coast, the Pacific Northwest, in about a month and a half. And all over the United States promoting The Shape of Dreams, which has been doing great.
Okay, and then we didn't have time tonight to talk about your studio thing that you're doing now, but we'll get into that. It just means you have to come back.
That's awesome.
We definitely have to have you come back and go in more detail.
Thanks so much, yeah.
What I'd like to do is have you just give us a little... again, with the Kempler, just go ahead and...
Yep, and then while you're doing that, bring that in. Just want to mention again to go to our website, flowguitarenthusiast.com, to make sure you sign up for the Shure SM57s. Next week, we have folks from Shure. And speaking of Richie Kotzen, we may be having him back on in June very soon with Billy Sheehan.
Sounds good.
Stay tuned for that.
All right,
thanks
everybody.
Again.
Have a great week.
Sweetwater.